Welcome to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
God doesn't ask you to go to a higher level without giving you extra power. He doesn't ask you to dig a bigger hole without giving you better equipment. You might have been using a shovel yesterday to dig a little sand pit, but when he asks you to build an Olympic pool, he'll give you a bulldozer. Amen. And so God wants to empower you with a mighty anointing to take you to a mighty level. And you here this morning are never going to experience the same level of, none of us will experience the same level of anointing without actually taking that step. Peter never knew he could walk on water until he actually stepped out of the boat. When he took that step, then he discovered supernatural power. And I believe that you and I are going to find ourselves not only confronting new enemies and new levels of attack and new levels of trial, but we'll also have the power that's equal to the trial if we will put ourselves in a position to actually receive that. And I believe as a church, we should always give the opportunity for increasing anointing to come on people's lives, and not only increasing anointing, but just refreshing the oil that's on you. I don't know if you've ever been to Nimbin, where, you know, the kind of the hippie crowd hang out. Looks like a lot of you actually have been there. But the deal is, I'm kidding. No, I'm not. And no, there's, you know, it's like, if you go there, they have all that sort of oil, the oil stuff, sandalwood and myrrh and frankincense and I don't know, I can't remember all the names. But after a few days, really you should wash it off, because it mixes up with the sweat and the mud, and I know you think it's cool still, but it's kind of not. And you think, they need fresh oil. And honestly, with some believers, yeah, you need fresh oil, amen, to get out of a Nimbin anointing and into a fresh oil anointing. I don't know if you have got grass with your property, and I've moved on from the Nimbin analogy, so the grass I'm talking about is actually the green stuff growing on you. And you know, you go out after winter, the mower's been sitting in the garage, and it's like a little rusty, a little tough, and you go to pull to start, and it's stuck. So you know what to do. You get out oil, and you stick oil on it, and tap the nut a little, and work it, tap the nut, get the wrench. Oh, you know if you pull it, you're going to bust something when it's stiff like that. So you tap it with a hammer a little, walk it backwards, forwards with the wrench, oil, and you feel it giving a little, tap, wrench, oil, more oil, tap, wrench, and then bit more oil, bit more tapping, boom, and off you go mow your lawn. Well, I found there are some tight nuts in the church, and you know that tap, oil, we get set free. When we get a little bit of tap on the head with some fresh theology, you know, and a little work with the wrench and oil. And you know, one of the greatest things the Holy Spirit brings to you is freedom. Just liberty. Just set free. To meet people who are all locked up with religion is such a sad thing. When Jesus said, I come to set you free. I come to give you liberty and to loose you in life so that you're not all bound up with all kinds of difficulties in your thinking. But you know, one of the ways that happens is by you and I activating the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And that happens when you start to pray. Now, I have a very basic belief system about how the Christian life is going to work for you and me. And that is that I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything was accomplished there. He said, it is completely complete when he died. It is finished. It is complete. And I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just, you know, that's enough. And the power of the Word of God and the power of the church. So that's pretty much it for me. I don't need anything else. It's like just Jesus. There's endless eternity of study and glory and majesty and wisdom and insight in Him all alone. It would take eternity to understand all that's in Christ and the finished work of the cross. And then the Holy Spirit, I mean, there's no end to how you connect with the Holy Spirit in prayer and in worship and the Word. And then there's the Bible. I mean, I've been studying that book for 40 years, and I still don't feel like I've even started. I look and I think, oh, there's so much more in here. I haven't studied the locusts yet, you know. I haven't studied the cloven hoofed, you know, yet. And whatever. It's endless. It's enough. It's like, and then the power of the church. Just being here every week. I mean, I'm here, like, I'm in church meetings like 10 times a week. But I'm never tiring. I always find, I get a little jump on the inside of me when I see the saints, when I hear them all talking, when I hear us all getting, and you feel the power of the church. And that's enough. You know, that's, once you've got that foundation and you're immovable on that, you're going to be fine. And I don't dilute it by trying to think, oh, that's not quite enough. I need this. I need a few other things. That's it. And once you have got that and you're saying, you know, all that I need is going to flow from the cross and from the power of the Spirit and the Word of God and the church gathered, then you're going to be a very powerful believer. Now, listen to me. On that basis, on that platform, though, which is like a consistent, universal, regular, all the time platform to live on that platform, God can start to speak to you about specific things in your world, things that you need wisdom about. And as you make that step into building the house of God, you find yourself facing new levels of difficulty. Like Psalm 132, 1-5, David says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord, that's making an oath to God, and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place. So he is basically saying, I'm not going to retire or resign or give up or rest until I've completed building God's house. He says, that is what I'm giving myself to. He didn't say, I'm going to give myself to, all the other things that he could have given himself to, the battles or writing psalms or inventing musical instruments. He said, building the house. And that's what we are committed to. That's what Vision Builders has been about this month. We're building the house of God. But he puts in direct correlation with that afflictions. He says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. And I've found that when people step into building the house and committing themselves to do that, they're also going to find themselves with an unusual amount of negative activity sometimes. It never surprises me when stuff surfaces straight after you've had a big victory or you made a step. And when you say, I'm going to build the church, Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. But it says they'll have a go. They will try. So, but they're not going to win if you put up the fight. And as he made this decision, Lord, I'm going to build your house, these afflictions came. Now, David had a wide variety of afflictions. He had family trouble, big family trouble. He had children, kids who killed each other. I mean, it's okay when your kids will have a fight in the bath. It's my duck, or they'll, you know, wrestle over the iPad. I want the game or whatever. And I want to watch that. That they hit each other. But I don't think anybody in this room has had kids that kill each other. David had kids that kill each other. It was horrific. He had his most beloved son betrayed him, turned on him, broke his heart. He had temptations that at least once he stumbled so badly. Messed up. He had all kinds of difficulties. He had a king who chased him like a dog around the desert. He had disloyalty. He had mutinies, he had so many things happen to him, and yet he wrote all these beautiful psalms that we sing today, thousands of years later, all around the world, and know that David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart because he was looking for a place to, for God to dwell on earth. He knew God wanted to hang out with people. He knew God wanted to fellowship on the earth. And so Jesus is called the Son of David more than anything else. And this person who's writing this about, he said, I know what it's like to build a house of God and the opposition, spiritual opposition that receives. And so God says, well, let me empower you, David, at a really high level. I'm going to put praise in your mouth. I'm going to put worship inside of you. I'm going to give you a supernatural language. And firstly, that was praise and worship. But as you come into the New Testament, you'll find there's a guy called Jude who starts to speak about how you can build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, I think it's that passage, says that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, which means to build yourself up. To edify means to build a house. You are building up your tabernacle, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I'd like both of those things to happen here in this morning's service. I just want you to understand that the gift of tongues is one of the most powerful things that God has given you to tune your spirit so that you can know things that your spirit knows, even though you don't know you know it yet. It can surface in your conscious thought as an understanding about a circumstance you're facing that will give you insight and wisdom on what to do. And we need to learn how to pray in the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues is the least of gifts, the Bible says. On that basis, some people have dismissed it, but golly, that's no good reason to dismiss it. The Apostle Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And honestly, whatever's the least of God's has got to be the most of mine. The reason it's the least is because he has said, this is the simplest and easiest level for every believer to enter into a supernatural zone. It's the doorway into the supernatural. He didn't say, working a miracle is going to get you. I mean, there'd be two of us in the world who would qualify. And that's a gift of the Spirit. But to be able to speak in tongues, a heavenly language. Now, there are three kinds of tongues that God has given us. Jesus says in Mark 16, they will speak with new tongues. That's the heading, new tongues. And why don't I write this up just so people get it on the board there. Can you do that for me? Okay, so we got new tongues. Is that going up there? Not yet. Ah, okay. I'll give it another go. Try it now. New tongues. Yeah, we got it. Okay, so there's the heading. Well, the first one is other tongues, right? That's what they spoke on the day of Pentecost. They got up and they spoke in languages they'd never learned before, and 3,000 people got saved hearing the gospel in their own language, even though the speakers didn't understand what they were saying. I've always believed that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll send out signals that the world understands so they can receive Christ into their lives. The church has been talking in signals that the world doesn't even comprehend. Playing music from the Dark Ages, wearing Roman togas. I better not say any more about smoking handbags or anything like that. But anyway, amen. We got other tongues, and then you have angelic tongues. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. So there are angels, that's like a message that we get from God to the church, and it gets interpreted. And then third is unknown tongues. Okay, so unknown tongues is what mostly we speak in. It's the language of prayer. It's a supernatural language that God has given us so that we can actually talk to God. The Bible says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men. It's not an other tongue, it's not a message, but to God. For no man understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks in mysteries. And there are a lot of mysteries that you and I face in life, which we don't understand. We don't understand why some of our prayers are taking so long to get answered. We might not understand why some of our prayers seem to never get answered. Daniel, who sought God, started to get understanding after 21 days of prayer and fasting that there was hindrances happening over the land of Persia, and he was fighting a supernatural war to get a breakthrough. And finally he got a breakthrough, but he had to get an insight into what was going on. And he found that as he continued to pray. If we don't pray, if we don't employ the supernatural language, we're going to be left with our natural understanding. And that can't see. We're blind. We're flying blind. But God has given us a supernatural gift, a supernatural language, which will activate all the things that God has put on the inside of our lives. Now, in Jude 1:16, he just prefaced that comment, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, with this. He says, these are grumblers, complainers, mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Then he goes into, but you, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So he says there's a contrast. Instead of complaining, instead of being old grumble bum, instead of being a mocker, instead of walking in ungodly lusts, instead of being sensual and causing divisions, that will put you in a position where you're disempowered. You haven't got the power of God. If there's one thing God hates all through the Old Testament, it's grumbling. Hey, it's complaining. When he hears that, he hates it. You know Anthony Robbins? He says, awaken the champion within. Phil Pringle says, slap the weasel within. When you hear that weasel come up, slap him. Slap him. You know who you are. Slap that thing. All of us have got one. A little weasel comes up. The nasal twang. Get rid of it. Because it disempowers you. The Holy Spirit is grieved. He likes faith, positive statements, loving attitudes. When you're in that zone and you're not fighting the negative and the doubt and the anger and the malice in every situation, but you decide, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How's that going to happen? By you speaking in tongues. Now, in a few moments, we're going to hold a call here for people saying, yeah, I want fresh oil. I need fresh empowering on my life. But I know that we won't get through praying for everybody. So I wanted to give you this kind of understanding so that you can go away and activate that anointing on the inside of you on your own. And you can do that all day long. That's the great thing about being a believer. I don't have to go somewhere to get something. I carry it with me every day, all the time, wherever I am. All the time. When I was a kid, we used to get in a car and travel all night long. In his old 56 Chrysler, they had no floorboards. Water pour up through the floorboards. We'd go surfing. We'd go all the way up to Auckland, Piha, somewhere. We'd drive all night long. And they'd always say, oh, you should have been here yesterday. And then we'd drive all night. We'd be thinking, oh, we'll get down to Ning Nong Bay. And it'll be amazing down there. And you know, had all these places that we'd go to. And you're thinking, when I get there, it's going to be great. But you know, with Jesus, it's 8 foot and pumping off the point all day long on the inside, baby. I got it. I got crystal cylinders in here, man. It's all the time. All the time. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. You have a well within you and you activate it and draw on it as soon as you begin to speak in your supernatural language. That supernatural language will articulate in your thinking all kinds of insight and understanding that you're not going to get any other way. You have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. Amen. So let's go on down here. We're getting past the grumbling. We get into 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I've heard people stop right there and say, you know what? We can never know what God's got for us. It's beyond our understanding. Oh, it's way beyond our sight. We're just never going to know. But they didn't read the next verse. The next verse says, but. Go to the next verse for me. But. Everybody say, but. Everybody say, but God. Great book called that. Amen. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. It's not like you can never not. It's not like you can ever know. Not know. I'm trying to do double negatives here. It's not like you can ever not know what God's got for you. You can know. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. When you go searching through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's with you because He's a searcher. He's an explorer. You'll discover all kinds of things when you become an explorer with Him. Okay, 2 verse 40. Okay, 1 Corinthians. Where are we up to? Yeah. Now we have received. Go to that. Ah, this is just too good. Ryan, this passage is unbelievable, isn't it? When have we received this? Pardon? Pardon? So right now, you've got it. Right now. You don't have to go out of here to get it. You've got it right now. Now we have received what? Not the spirit of the world. You're not. You haven't got the spirit of the world in you? No, you're not. You're not in part of this world. There's a spirit in this world, and you haven't got it. But you have received the Spirit from heaven, from God. Why? That we might know. Why have you got the Holy Spirit right now in you? That we might know. The word know, epignosis means, a Greek word, means to experience. Not just know as in information. It's know as in Joseph knew not Mary. That's an experience, baby. Amen. He's talking about there. He's not talking about he didn't know her. He knew her, but he hadn't yet known her. I don't need to explain, do I? No, good. Okay, so that we might know, that we might experience the things that have been freely given to us by God. Come on, get excited here. I'm preaching better than we're hearing. That we might know the things. You've been given a whole bunch of stuff for free, and yet I see people working for it all the time. It's unmerited. It's effortless. The Christian life is an effortless experience because all the effort was carried out by Jesus on the cross, and now you're empowered by the Holy Spirit on the inside. It's called unmerited living. Favor. Favor's on my life. Favor's on my life. Why have I got it? Why do I have to have the Holy Spirit? So that I might know the things. And the great thing that you've got here on you is an anointing that's equal to slaying a giant. Inside you is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It'll teach you about everything you need to know. 1 John 2:27, as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Some of you business guys might be thinking, oh God, what would God know about routing a computer? What would God know about my camera business? What would God know about, you know, making music? Or how would He know Mandarin? I mean, we think God's an Englishman or something. He's not. He's not Brazilian. Sorry. So the Lord. Amen. He's not Australian. He's not even a Kiwi. He's not even an All Black. Oh, no, look, the deal is God is God, and he doesn't necessarily speak in English. He has a mind that is as vast as this universe. There's not a thought in anybody's mind on planet Earth that he is unaware of right now. Not a word on any book, not a word on any blog. Not a program, not an idea, not an initiation, not things in the future, not things in the past. He knows absolutely, he's completely cognizant and aware of everything going on. Absolutely aware. Huge swirling mind, capturing every thought. To understand all the thoughts of people, it's like chicken feed. That's nothing to him. He doesn't even need a gigabyte, terabyte, or whatever other byte, you know, to get it. He knows. He just knows stuff. He knows things. And that's just this earth, my Lord. All the other planets. And he can cope with it. He knows all things. You have that anointing inside you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophesying. And then this last passage that I want to bring to you, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. You can all prophesy. You can all prophesy. Now, I got to tell you that whenever I go to pray for a person for a miracle, I'm looking for the word of the Lord. I find most every one of the miracles that were performed in the Old Testament, New Testament were performed by the word of God. Jesus would say, go, go your way, your son is well. He said he spoke the word to them. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go show yourselves to the priest. What is in your hands is a pot of oil. Thus says the Lord, the oil will not run out. The flour will not run out. In fact, let me tell you this. Just a little Bible college stuff. Moses first struck the rock and water flowed out when they came out of Egypt. Because they said, we need water. Poured out. A river 8 foot deep, 4 foot wide. Needed for 3 million people. Pouring out of this rock. They came and it says that rock followed them. I'm not sure how, but it followed them. Just rolling along. Rock and roll. And you're taking up my time. Stop it. And so they get to another place, and the Lord says, speak to the rock. Moses is upset with the crowd, takes the stick out, bam, hits it again. On that issue, God said, you'll never enter the land of Canaan because you dishonored me. He didn't realize that that rock was Christ. And Christ would ever only be struck once. Striking him twice is going to keep you out of your promised land. From here on in, speak to the rock. You do not hit that rock ever again. God said to Moses. So from here on in, he said, speak to it. Life, healing, miracles, salvation flow into the city of Sydney in Jesus' name. Speak into that rock. Power, miracles, healing, provision, abundance, overflowing church right here in the city of Sydney. You can all prophesy, which is to speak into your future and do some future casting. That's another word that I use for prophesying. Because you can cover your future with negativity or you can cover it with the word of the Lord. Fresh oil coming into your life and the word of the Lord coming into your mouth is something that God wants to equip you with here today.
Thanks for listening to the Phil Pringle podcast. Check out philpringle.com to follow Phil's blog and latest resources. Join us next time for more great teaching.